Offers valid through 6/3. Free local delivery applies to appliances $299 or more. U.S. only.
We've got sports covered in Greenville. 105.5 The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us, Stevie Wonder. You don't think that guy's talented, do you? Good job, John Haidt.
I love that.
All right, John. I have something else for you here, okay? Let me know when you're back, John. I know you got some stuff to do there. But I have something else astounding to tell you. Before I do that, Donnie Patterson, Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com, PATTAX.com, 859-8289, 859-8289. Get in touch with the Patterson Tax Service. Man, they would love to help you out. These people are the best when it comes to tax preparation, but I want to talk about tax planning right now. You small businesses, are you in the right kind of classification? Do you have the right thing going on right now? Do you have your LLC's it set up right? Are you doing your payroll right? You know, your formation, are you doing everything? They can do all this stuff for you, and the tax planning, the tax consultation. I've done this. We're going to do one more adjustment to mine for next year as far as my payroll stuff is concerned, and it's going to make another big difference. So these people are saving me money, legally getting exactly what I'm entitled to. It's the great minds at the Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com, PATTAX.com, 859-8289, 859-8289. John Haidt.
Yes, sir.
I just looked this up. In the state of Ohio, I'm looking at the University of Washington model right now. In the state of Ohio, on August the 3rd, they are projecting right now that there will be 20 people in the hospital in the state of Ohio with COVID-19. They are projected that there will be 7 people that will need to be in the ICU in Ohio on August the 3rd, 1 month before the football season. 20 people will be in the hospital in Ohio to COVID-19. According to the University of Washington model, all the models have been wrong. But you can see how we're on the downward side of it, right? We're going to not have people in a football stadium because 20 people are in the hospital in the state a month before? It doesn't go out to September yet. They've not projected out to September yet, okay? In the state of South Carolina right now, let me make sure I've got this right. In the state of South Carolina, what they're saying right now, that the last date that we will need anybody in the hospital in South Carolina, their model says July the 5th. 2 months before the first football season, the last hospital bed projected by the University of Washington in South Carolina is going to be one person. One in the hospital. No deaths, no ICUs. One person in the hospital in South Carolina. And we're going to not let people in a football stadium? I'll be honest with you, John. If we're talking about one person in the hospital, that's like somebody fell off their ladder. There's going to be just as many people in there. You want Georgia? Let me give you Georgia.
All right.
We're close enough to Georgia. People will be coming over from Georgia, right?
A lot of people will be, yeah.
In the state of Georgia.
They're not sticking around to watch their football.
In the state of Georgia, on August the 3rd, August the 4th, I'm sorry, take it to the 4th now. The University of Washington model projects there will be 11 people in the hospital with COVID in the entire state of Georgia. 1 month before football season. 11 people in the hospital in the entire state. And we're not going to have people in a football stadium? What? You want North Carolina? Because sure. I want to give it to you. Just say yes.
Yes.
Okay. North Carolina's going to be worse for some reason. On August the 3rd, there's going to be 209 people in the hospital in North Carolina. I don't know why. I don't know. I guess they've relaxed some social distancing stuff or whatever. So 209 people. Mind you, that there's in there 6 or 7 million people in North Carolina. 3.5-4 million people in South Carolina. One person's going to be in the hospital. We're going to shut down the Clemson Memorial Stadium. Williams-Brice. Not going to let anybody in. What? What are we doing? John, across the whole country, by the way, let me give you this. 350 million people live in the country. 330 million people live in the country. 350 million people live in the country.
Something like that.
Okay. According to this model, on August the 4th, there's going to be 727 people in a hospital. 1 month before football season. And we're going to be social distancing in a football game?
But to counter, I mean, a couple weeks ago, it was, are we even going to play? Are we even going to let anybody in? We don't know what the numbers are. These numbers keep changing. They keep improving. Who's to say that in 2 weeks to a month, Gene Smith will be like, wow, the numbers keep decreasing. Let's open it up. There's a chance. I mean, things are constantly changing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm. We're going to be in Death Valley. Let me be clear about something. If on August the 3rd there's one person in the hospital in South Carolina, and on September the what's their first home game? September the
10th, maybe 9th, somewhere in there. I can't remember. Second week of the season.
Right against Louisville, you're gonna tell me I can't go to the game? Because there's one person in the hospital in South Carolina. Hey, maybe the models are wrong. Maybe it might be three. Maybe the models will miss it by 300%. And maybe there'll be three people in the hospital in South Carolina. What? I don't want to beat this horse too much here, but let's just be clear about this. More people are getting tested. Oh, by the way, do you know? You want to know how many people on August 3rd will be testing? Actually, I have to do some math here. Yeah, let's do total.
Are we taking an early commercial break, or are we doing it?
Very good. I'm looking at in South Carolina. On August the 3rd, we're looking at over 16,000 daily tests is what they project to have. I'm wondering this. If you got one person in the hospital, why are 16,000 people testing for it? Explain that one to me.
I don't believe that I can.
If I got one person in the hospital right now for some sort of weird, wild flu bug that happened in Southeast, I don't know. But why am I doing that now? All right, so let me give you this. On August the 3rd, daily testing is estimated to be at about 675,000, almost 676,000 daily tests on August the 4th, I should say. And across the country, we're projecting that we're going to have 7,800 people, 350 million people in the country, and we're going to have 7,800 people that have it. And again, just to be clear, on August the 3rd, they're going to say in the United States, 2,600 people are going to be in the hospital. And we're going to shut down the world of 350 million because 2,600 are in the hospital. I don't know, John, man. What I've been saying all along is if we just get these meds, we can be treatment. You don't have to go to the hospital. I mean, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to have a bad deal. But if I'm not going to the hospital, man, I'm not going to shut down the whole economy. I'm going to shut down everything. You think Tiger Town Graphics? You think Tiger Sports Shop? You think Mr. Knickerbockers? You think the Domino's Pizza? You think the Taylor Park? You think Sardi's? You think Goobers? You think these people need this pipe coming in? You think the hotels, the Marriott's and the Hampton Inns, man, they need people coming in here. We're going to project right now one person in the hospital a month before the season, and we're not going to let 80,000 in? And it won't be 80,000. I get it. I told you, man. If I'm my grandmother's 95 years old, John, and she has respiratory issues. I wouldn't let my grandmother come within 5 miles of a football stadium right now. But come on, man. Come on. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Thomas held through the break there. Thomas, I appreciate you being patient, man. How you doing this morning? Hey, Thomas. You with us, John?
Hey, Thomas. Hey, guys. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, man. We got you now.
Hey,
how are you?
How y'all guys doing?
Good. Hope you're doing well,
doing
too.
Doing great. Doing great, good. Guys. I'm doing good. Doing good. Hey, John, just want to say I love you guys' show. First time getting in a long time. But I want to say is, John, you went through all the numbers. And I appreciate you talking about your grandmother at the end, but I have a little more than numbers here. My wife is from New Jersey. And so, and in the past 3 weeks, we've actually had two friends die of COVID-19. One friend was only 54 years old, and the other friend was in their 60s. And so, you know, on the surface, we might have said, oh, well, only this many people die in the age of 50 from the COVID-19, and only such and such die if they're under the age of 60. So really, we're just worried about people in their 70s. But the thing is that these are real people. This is you, John. This is your friends. This is your family. It's people we actually know. So now, granted, I love Clemson football. So I'm a exercise precaution. And when I can, you know, I'm going to go to a game. No doubt about that. But on the flip side, I don't want people minimizing what this can do, because if you do research on the Spanish flu in 1918, that flu mutated. And when it mutates, it can go from one group of people to an even younger group of people. And so the last thing you want is, you know, not exercise any precaution, or where you do exercise that, when you finally exercise precaution, it's too late. You know? And
well, let me say this.
The fact of when you – Go ahead.
Let me say this. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. But A,
no,
I am so very sorry for your losses. And friends and family, man, that's no one wants that to happen. And Mark, our sincerest condolences there. On the other side of that, I told you before, there are people who have passed away at the ages of 30 and 40. I mean, that has happened. Now, those numbers –
Right.
I'll find the pencil.
They're
I mean,
low.
The New Jersey stuff for you in a second. Yeah. Now, again, there have been in, from 30 to 34 in Pennsylvania, 7 people have died. And that's 7 families. That's too many. That's not great. At the same time, it's still less. And it's not, you don't shut down everything as a result of that. You want to be smart through all of that.
Right.
Here's another thing I can tell you. If you want to look at all the data, that people aren't dying from car wrecks right now. Because you aren't driving.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that out there. I'll just tell you this. Let me give you this stat before I let you go. Because it is about stats, too. In the state of New Jersey, and it has been awful in New Jersey. It's been awful, okay? On August the 3rd, in New Jersey, the University of Washington model predicts that there will be 21 people in the hospital in the whole state of New Jersey with COVID-19. The point there is that through the herd mentality, I mean, the herd immunity, through the, you know, through the people who have recovered from it, and through, you know, social distancing, all stuff that we're taking care of, that curve in New Jersey is sliding down. It is a great decline. Thank goodness it's a great decline. Today, right now, you're talking about right now, there's 1,300 people in the hospital then. My point about football is on August the 3rd, you're going to have 7 people in the hospital in New Jersey. Is what they're predicting. Right. So my point is that we are getting through this. We're on the downside of this. The worst is behind us, and we're moving forward. So in football in September, it's going to look different than it is on May the 21st.
Hands down. But I do have one more thing.
Sure.
Because I do think I agree with you in the sense of if we do what we're supposed to do, we will hands down be able to play football come game day. But have you been outside, like, into the grocery stores or different places in the public recently, like
yes.
in the past few days?
Well,
I don't know if you noticed it.
Yeah.
So I wear my gloves and I wear my face mask anytime I go into public things, and there's a lot of people, always. But what I've noticed is that 75% of people aren't wearing anything, and it doesn't matter the age. So I'm more worried about the fact that people are so focused on what's going to be like in August that we're forgetting that we need to do this right now. So it's not a problem.
But here's one. Thanks, Thomas. I appreciate the phone call. Here's one of the issues that we're dealing with here, though, is that, and we've been very, very careful. Very careful, and rightfully so. But we find out yesterday that the CDC tells us that we might not have needed the caution when it comes to surfaces. That it's a human-to-human contact, that this disease, this virus is not living on surfaces the way that we thought. The CDC said yesterday that it does not spread easily from contaminated surfaces. Now, I'm not telling you wrong for wearing gloves or wearing masks. That's you. You make your decision based on what you want to do. But now, here we are 70, 80-something days into this thing, and we're still learning. And again, it's not their fault. I mean, we're still learning about this. But now they're telling us that it does not easily spread on surfaces. John, can you understand the apprehension? People saying, wait a minute, man. This is the center of disease control in the country. These are the smartest people in the world. And remember this, they told us we didn't have to wear masks for a month. And remember this, I said it has to be an N95 mask. And then they tell us that, no, you need to wear a mask, and it doesn't have to be N95 mask. Forever they told us how long is we live on surfaces. Now we're learning. It's not their fault, man. We're just learning about this thing. Now they're saying that it can't really go from surface to surface like we thought it was. It's not easily contacted through surfaces. I'm not making this up. This is what the CDC told us yesterday. It does not easily spread on surfaces. According to New York Post, according to Associated Press, Washington Examiner, that it's not going easily from surface to humans. My point through all of it is, and I'm going to wrap this thing up. If I've got 11 people in the state of Ohio in a hospital on August the 3rd, and if I got one person in South Carolina in the hospital on August the 3rd, and you're going to limit a football game capacity because of that? Come on, man. Now, we're doing this as a result of what our current restrictions are. The point that John Hite and I have made for the longest time is that it's May the 21st now. We first started. Remember that John would say, you know what, man, it's late March. Let's see. It's early August. Let's see. Early April. Let's see. It's mid-April. Let's see. It's early May. Let's see. And the hope was, and what we're thinking we're right about this thing, is that smart people are coming about. Smart people are coming up with ideas. We're getting more meds. We're getting, you know, closer to vaccine stuff. We're getting the herd immunity stuff's happening, and social distancing stuff is working, whatever it might be, that we won't look like this in September. So I think we're going to get all this stuff relaxed. I think we're going to be okay. You want to see somebody upset by a football game? Let one person sack them be in a hospital, and they don't get to go to the football game as a result. It ain't going to be good. Short break, John. Whew. Pretty alarming stats, though. Let's wrap that conversation up. Talk some Clemson football recruiting right after this.
Metal Depot's formerly Metal Building Supply would like to remind you that during this time of change and new normal, we're still here to help and serve. Metal Depot's is your leading supplier of metal buildings, along with roof and wall components, with superior quality and competitive prices. Call or stop by to speak to one of our material specialists at 864-295-0506. We are located at 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont.
If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and their showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house, and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
From day one, the Corner Butcher in Clemson's Patrick Square has delivered high-quality meats, chicken, seafood, and pork to their customers, along with a selection of fresh produce. They have what you and your family need. Locally owned and firmly planted in the community, the Corner Butcher invites you in today to find what you've been looking for. Briskets, fillets, strips, chicken, lamb, fish, and ground beef, plus fresh produce as well. A part of your community, the Corner Butcher in Patrick Square, Clemson.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we're here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley invites you to stop by and check out all the new Yokohama G-Lander and Advan Series tires. From May 15th to July 5th, buy a set of four select Yokohama G-Lander or Advan tires and you could receive up to a $70 Visa prepaid card or Visa virtual account. Call Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley at 859-1361 or see them online at stscnow.com. Yokohama G-Lander or Advan Series tires from Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla is urging everyone to stay safe during these trying times. We are open with your safety in mind. Take advantage of 0% for 84 months on all remaining 2019 models and 0% for up to 75 months on 2020 models. Now is a great time to take advantage of 0% for extended terms, big rebates, and stimulus incentives. New, pre-owned, parts, service, or body shop, we have you covered. Online at EdwardsAutoSales.net or visit us in Walhalla. Always save extra with no dealer or dock fee.
Become a Roar Insider. Get the scoop with the Roar newsletter and a chance to win prizes. Log on to WCCPFM.com and click on the newsletter banner from the Roar.
There's a port on a western.
Well, glad to have you with us. John Height, you had an angry phone call there in the last segment that didn't want to come on the air.
It was a gentleman called in, and he said he was in his 70s and had said that basically the impression he was getting from the last couple segments was that those people in that population felt that the way it was coming across is that their lives aren't as important as the rest.
Absolutely not. 100%. Actually, quite the opposite. This is an example of you hear what you want to hear. Quite the opposite. Did he hear me say about my 95-year-old grandmother? Did he hear me say about I have a friend of mine who's in his early 80s probably, that I wouldn't want to go to a football game? Quite the opposite. What I'm telling you is if you're over that age, then guess what? You don't need to go to a football game. They're not going to let anybody go anyway. So why would you think about it at the age of 70, especially if you have health issues? If you're healthy, then think about going. But if not, don't go. I'm actually looking out for you, bruh. Can you call a 70-year-old guy, bruh?
I'm looking out for you. It's 2020.
I'm looking out for you. I'm just telling you, if that is the case, then you need to be careful. 100% need to be careful. Don't go. But what I am telling you is that if you're not that, then why should you not go? Your life isn't less valuable. It's more. I'm telling you, be more careful. Be more cautious. Do more. Take more things in consideration. I don't know how you got that out of the conversation. You hear what you want to hear. What he heard was, die, old man. What I said was, be careful, young whippersnapper. Be careful.
You don't need to take these things at risk right now. Your age status is a factor. Don't go to a football game. Don't. But John Hight should be able to go. Especially if one person's in the hospital on August the 3rd in the state of South Carolina. 654 Roar. It's interesting what people hear. 654 Roar. Jeff is in Greenville. Jeff, thanks for hanging on, man. I hope you're doing well this morning.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Couple things. I want to touch base on the Furman, and I went to Clemson, but the baseball cancellation, the lacrosse cancellation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've got a question. Why didn't they cancel one women's sport and one men's sport? Why was it two men's sports? And then baseball at Furman, that to me is ridiculous. I can't believe they did that. I don't know their financial situation, their budget situation, but are you telling me they have the money at Furman to keep the baseball team going? I don't know. That's just my opinion on that. And I've got one more comment on something else, but I'll let you comment on that.
Yeah, whenever you start canceling sports, Title IX is a factor. And if you notice that post-Title IX, that men's sports will get canceled before women's sports. Women's sports do get canceled. But they've got to cancel that one-to-one once it comes to that. And they might – I don't know what the other sports are firming, what female sports are, but women's sports are. But that I'm sure Title IX had something to do with that as far as costs and all. And baseball is not a moneymaker at almost every on almost every place in the country. There was a stat out there a few years ago that said that Furman baseball made money. I don't think that's the case. One of the things that people don't realize, though, is that with baseball being a partial scholarship sport, that those kids were paying a bunch of money in tuition to go to Furman, you know, with 11.7 scholarships from 30 players. So they'll miss that tuition part of it. I wish it wouldn't have been the case. I think what we're talking about here at Furman is when you go back to the battle of who was going to take control of it years ago, and those that lost out, I think they lost to the side that is going to be bad management. I think they've had bad management for my Furman people tell me. I'm not close to Furman. I don't know it. I don't know the specifics of it. But I've got two or three Furman people that tell me that's been mismanaged for years, and they've dug themselves some bad holes and made some bad decisions. It's a shame. It's an absolute shame. But they're in some financial major issues. Their employees are being furloughed. Their retirements over there are being cut, not being contributed to. There's a bunch of issues going on at Furman right now.
Well, and I guess how much their football program makes, but it just...
No, it loses. Furman's football loses money. Furman football loses money.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I
just think it's just right. I mean, I think you got to go one-to-one if you're going to do it. And I've got a daughter, so I'm all for women's sports, but I just think you got to go one-to-one. I think it's ridiculous. The other thing is, and this is a side note, but you were talking, the one guy before was talking about doing things the right way, mask and all this stuff. You know, I don't wear a mask and stuff when I go into places. I'm just very careful. As far as the pandemic, my personal opinion, I don't want to get political here because this is a sports show. I think we've way overblown this. And I think that, I've got two parents that are 83 or one's about to be 83. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff besides coronavirus that can get them sick too when they go out there. So I just think this has all been way overblown, and we shut the economy down for no reason. And I've got a lot of other opinions, but I'll leave it at that.
I appreciate the phone call. Have a great day, Jeff. Thanks an awful lot. You know, one of the things that is not mentioned, John Hight, is something that I learned years ago. Have you heard this thing that says that when someone elderly breaks their hip, like they die within a large percent of people die within the next year? Well, that stat is not because the hip is a vital bone in the body or anything like that. It's the fact that they were brittle to begin with and maybe elderly to begin with, and they're fighting off other stuff, and then there's infections and there's things like that. It's not that the hip led to their death. It's part of that they're elderly and they're going to, you know, things are going to happen anyway. So one of the things you have to ask yourself is if there's, I gave that stat out. Let me give it to you one more time, that there's more people over the age of 100 in Pennsylvania that have died than under the age of 45. So what you have to ask yourself is that how many of those people would have passed away over 100 anyway due to something else? And kind of skews your thoughts through some of that. Anyway, I'm sure someone over 100 is listening to the show this morning thinking that I don't care about them either. Not true. Clemson Dominates is up next. Clemson Dominates, thanks for hanging on, friend. I hope you're doing well this morning.
Yeah, real good. First of all, because I'm a big music guy also. A newer band that I think you'd like is called The Revivalists. You can check out the song You and I. And it's just real good foot-tapping music. It's got a real good groove to it. It's a six-member band, so you get a lot of cool instruments in there. And the singer is incredible. I think you'll really dig it. So
Revivalist. I wrote it down. I'll check it out after the show. Revivalist, all right?
Cool deal. So the NASCAR, I think that this is a good thing, you know, them being able to have these midweek night races, because I'm hoping that they... Because SMI, that's Bruden Smith, and, you know, his son Marcus Smith runs it now. They still own the track. They haven't done anything with it in North Wilkesboro, because that was always my favorite track. North Wilkesboro is awesome. You know, it's a short track, but you always have two grooves, so you have lots of side-by-side racing. And short tracks, to me, are like the best races. And that's a possibility if they're able to run midweek races that they could eventually get North Wilkesboro back on the schedule, which I think would be a big deal for a lot of longtime NASCAR fans who were kind of pissed off at the fact that they started, closing down like the tracks like North Wilkesboro and Rockingham, and then building these tracks in other places that weren't necessarily NASCAR markets, trying to make this make it bigger than what it really probably should be, tried to overgrow and build the sport the wrong way. So I think that being able to get back to some of these smaller short tracks, adding more short track races, I think will increase the popularity. And that incident between Chase Elliott and Kyle Busch last night, they're actually the two top drivers for the most popular driver award. Obviously, Chase Elliott won that award pretty easily because of his dad, Bill, who always won the award when he was active. But it's just, that stuff stirs the thing. You know, it creates a lot of interest. And there's actually a Xfinity race in 4.5 hours. So got something to watch, some live NASCAR. I mean, it's basically the AAA, but you do have some Cup guys like Kyle Busch will be racing that race. So it's a good... it's a good chance to watch something that normally you'd be watching something like Judge Judy or whatever. It's much better than that. So.
Somebody tell me what Judge Judy's worth. It's like, what? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I don't know how people watch that stuff, you know. How do people watch that stuff? I can't watch it, you know.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you 100% on that one. Hey, man, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks an awful lot. It was an interesting NASCAR race last night, in case you didn't stay up and watch it. Supposed to start originally scheduled at 7:30, tried to move it up to 6:00. Rain moved it back to 8:00. They ran all but 20 laps, and for the first time ever. And I needed to ask Clemson Dominates this: when did we do NASCAR in kilometers? It was a 300-kilometer race last night. I'm like, wait, man, we're in South Carolina, we're in Darlington, we don't know what the heck a kilometer is. But they did 300 kilometers last night, or they tried to. They didn't get in their last 20 laps. It was 320-something laps or whatever it was, and they didn't get in the last 20 laps. It was fireworks at the end, though, when Kyle Busch took out Chase Elliott and later apologized for it, but Elliott flipped him a bird and got out of his car, and there was some bench clearing, pit clearing kind of things in there, but they all worked it out. NASCAR kind of needed those fireworks a little bit last night, the personalities. Hamlin won the race, oh, by the way. But he is right that Kyle Busch and Chase Elliott and that two of the more established now, more popular drivers coming down the stretch. It was a mistake by Kyle Busch. He fussed up to it. He owned up to it. And in the end, it was a really good race in Darlington. I like what he said about North Wilkesboro, and I like what he said about Rockingham. I've been to both. Matter of fact, one of the coldest times of my life was in Rockingham, North Carolina, in the middle of nowhere in Rockingham, North Carolina. and it was a cold, cold day there. And then one of my greatest races I ever saw was in North Wilkesboro. We were up there in an April race. Matter of fact, Masters Sunday race where Ben Crenshaw won the Masters. It was 93 maybe, something like this. 92, 93, 91, 92, 93. And anyway, but Earnhardt won. And I told that story in the air that the man in front of me flipped Earnhardt 500 laps. He flipped him 500 birds that day. Stood up and flipped him a bird every single lap in a short track, turning 19-second laps there at North Wilkesboro. A race that was uphill and downhill. Like, it was part of the track was uphill, and then you go back downhill on the backstretch. Anyway, interesting stuff there. I'd love to see those come back. I don't like Kansas City, or I don't like California and Texas Motor Speedway. I like Rockingham. I like Darlington. I like North Wilkesboro. I like those tracks. I love Richmond. I love Martinsville. I love these places that you get some good old short track racing, some good racing around this way. John, I'm going to leave you with this in a second. I'm going to give you a little NASCAR taste here. Do I have you now, buddy? Are you off the phone?
I'm here.
Do you know Talladega is the biggest track in all of NASCAR, 2.66 miles? Do you know that Talladega was almost built in Gaffney, South Carolina?
Really? I was not aware.
No, it was the original thought and plans we might build it there. I've been told this. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm told this, and they didn't go through somehow, and they got land in Alabama, in Talladega, Alabama, which is middle of nowhere as well, but a massive motor speedway. You imagine going over to Gaffney and seeing a 2.66 mile super speedway through all that. But believe me, I think Gaffney might be bigger than Talladega, the town there, through all that. Anyway, good stuff there. Hey, Tiger Sports Shop, get in touch with them. All your Clemson stuff is needed, had anything you need, they've got right there. It's going on in Tiger Sports Shop. Clemson apparel, masks, graduation gifts, gift cards. You know, I am the one that just needs to get a little gift certificate from you. I like to pick my own stuff out. And to be honest with you, I had lunch with Sean the other day from Tiger Sports Shop. He said they're doing great there and looking forward to continuing, more people coming in and more people ordering, more people curbside service and continue to open up and do all stuff. They're very careful. They're obviously social distancing and doing all that over this way. But get online. Check it out. And send that graduate, send that birthday gift, do the gift card, do it online, do the mail stuff, do the curbside pickup stuff. They got a bunch of great looking stuff at Tiger Sports Shop. Online is easy. Two great locations in Clemson, but tigersports.com. We'll take a break. Come back. Clemson got a football commitment yesterday. We'll tell you him. And also, I won't tell you too much because we have Paul Strilo on. And then Clemson's president, provost, and all spoke yesterday about reopening the university and give you some dates and some thoughts about that. Much more on the other side right after this.
If your loved one is no longer comfortable living in their own home due to memory loss or aging, Dominion Senior Living is here to help. At Dominion, outstanding physical, emotional, and spiritual care is the standard. Their community offers a modern, comfortable place to call home. Honoring God through service to seniors, Dominion Senior Living at Patrick Square in Clemson and Highway 81 in Anderson. Exclusively designed to promote vitality with support when needed, visit DominionSeniorLiving.com for more information.
Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley invites you to stop by and check out all the new Yokohama G-Lander and Advance Series tires. From May 15th to July 5th, buy a set of four select Yokohama G-Lander or Advan tires and you could receive up to a $70 Visa prepaid card or Visa virtual account. Call Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley at 859-1361 or see them online at stscnow.com. Yokohama G-Lander or Advan Series tires from Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley.
During May, there are many reasons to celebrate. Graduations, Mother's Day, the unofficial start to summer. But nothing is more important than recognizing the ultimate sacrifice brave men and women have made to defend our freedoms and keep democracy alive and well. May is National Military Appreciation Month. Easley Lawn and Garden and Parham Smith and Archinhold remind us that the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard have protected this great nation for hundreds of years. Take time this month to pay tribute to all of our military, past and present, who've sacrificed so that we may all remain free. They have gone above and beyond in their roles as servicemen and women. We honor them in May during National Military Appreciation Month. Remember them now and always. Brought to you by Easley Lawn and Garden, locally owned and operated by a veteran, and Parham Smith and Archenhold, a medical malpractice law firm.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we're here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
Metal Depots is your leading supplier of metal building and roof and wall components with superior quality and competitive prices. With all the storms that are affecting the Carolinas, we are here to help you with any repairs that you might need. We also offer our services to the general public. Stop by 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont or give us a call at 864-295-0506. Metal Depots is here to assist you.
Has this ever happened to you? My friend was telling me about his new pair of headphones, so I looked them up online. Now, everywhere I go is a creepy ad for those headphones I looked at one time. I hate that feeling like I'm being watched. I got DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. It's that simple. Take back your privacy online with DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
All the sports that's fit to air. Brad and Ben in the press box. Weekdays from 9 till noon on The Roar.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road. Gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Let's get to our phone line, 654-ROAR. Paul Strelo at about 8:05 this morning. Brian and Easley is up next. Brian, thanks for hanging on, man. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing very well, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
Fantastic, man. Doing great.
Hey, I got a question. You guys have been talking about NFL, MLB, NBA, college football. Have you heard anything about any kind of high school sports of what they're looking at as far as trying to get them guys started? Because I know they missed spring practice for high school football. Baseball was out. Have you just heard anything as far as upcoming high school football seasons or anything around this area particularly?
Yeah, the one we know is Georgia. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate that. Georgia has a date set up. Is it June 15th, I think, maybe, that high schools can start working out? The National High School Association, let me see, National High School Sports Federation announced guidelines for opening up, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, that there's some guidelines for high school football out there. So I think you'll see that. I know that the states, North Carolina and Georgia both now have Little League Baseball. I think South Carolina's Little League Baseball is starting back up. I think we're going to be on time. I've not heard anything from the state of South Carolina, but I know Georgia's one that they're going to allow you to do their 7-on-7s. And I'll ask Paul Strelo 8:05 this morning about what he's heard through all that. But we're trending in the right direction. And even then, I mean, John, I think we need to talk about this part of it is that these are kids that are really, really safe. I mean, high school kids especially. I'm told now that South Carolina will be back in the middle of June too. So we'll see. Stan is in Greer, 654-ROAR. Hey, Stan, thanks for hanging on. I hope you're doing well this morning. Uh-oh, Stan called me back, buddy. That wasn't very long to hang on. He didn't hang on long at all. So we're looking at middle of June for the most part. John, have you seen anything? And I hadn't seen anything for sure, but there's just talking about opening up to high school stuff.
I haven't seen anything in regards to high school athletics.
Yeah.
We'll keep my eye out for it, though.
Yeah. The demographics, the age group. Now, we got some. We have some coaches that are.
Texture just got in and said they announced youth and adult sports in South Carolina can start May 30th for workouts.
Okay, so starting by working out for them. Clemson announced yesterday that the university is going to open back up limited basis on June the 1st. And you're going to see the disinfecting and all that kind of stuff. Even though, hey, we just told you, can't get it from services the way we once thought. But they came out with their plan for the summer and the fall, and it looks like that they're making all kinds of progress towards opening up and having students on time there in the middle of August, middle to late August, coming back into town. Now, does that mean, we're making some measures now for late in the semester? I saw where several schools won't be coming back to on-campus stuff for November after the Thanksgiving break, that they don't want them going other places and then coming back. And again, there's so much to be learned from this. We don't know the second wave or the mutations. We don't know any of those things. But John, remember when we saw all of the spring break footage?
Yeah.
And people are going, what are these people doing, trying to kill each other? Well, and at the time I was like, these kids are idiots. But the kids aren't, they didn't get sick. Like the kids, they aren't dying. The kids aren't, those college kids, nothing really happened across the country. I mean, occasionally, yeah. So, I don't know if we need to not come back after that. If they in this peak of spring break, now maybe it's like some viruses. Maybe the colder weather will be a factor, and they'll come back in Thanksgiving from all over the place. Maybe that'll be different. I don't know. There's just so much to be learned through all of this. But on the other side of it, if you just pay just a little tiny bit of attention, we're seeing these great numbers. We're seeing these great things that are going on. For instance, as bad as it was in New York, as bad as it was, and maybe the University of Washington model is off, but on August the 3rd, the University of Washington model says that in the state of New York, that there will be 3 people in the hospital on August the 3rd with COVID-19. It might be 6, I don't know, 9. But now remember this, now you're talking about there were 6,200 people in the hospital in April. You know, there were 5,800 people in the hospital in mid-April, late April. There were 2,200 people in the hospital there in the 1st of May. But they're talking about in August now, there will be August the 4th in New York, the entire state of New York, they're projecting 2 beds, 2 hospital beds will be needed for COVID-19. These are great. These curves are coming down. And like I said, who knows? Maybe the models have been wrong before and they'll be wrong again. But I don't know what it's going to look like. And that's August, man. That's August. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Clemson got a football commitment yesterday from Bubba Chandler. He is from Bogart, Georgia. He is a guy that was committed to University of Georgia to play baseball. He is one of the top baseball prospects in the country and has backed out of that because he wants to play football and baseball. Now at Clemson, the North Oconee High School, it's right outside of Athens, received scholarship offers in football from Miami and Louisville and Ole Miss. It's going to be hard for Clemson to get a top-ranked quarterback out there because of DJ Uiagalelei, but it was something that they've the football staff and Monty Lee and Bradley Lee Cornell, those guys, have to be excited about that. Middle infielder, and also a pitcher. And now he's going to play both sports at Clemson. I like this. I think this is probably the best Clemson could have done. An up-and-coming kid that they've – really athletic kid, obviously. And the second time that they went in and beat Georgia, Georgia baseball just got to be upset by this. He was, again, a very highly rated baseball player there in the state of Georgia. We'll ask Paul Strelo coming up here in a second what that looks like.
Does he have a chance you know, towards probably the back end of his career here at the 2020 club that Kyle Parker created?
Maybe. Maybe. 20 touchdown passes and 20 home runs.
That was a fun year to be on campus.
2020, man. What a talent, huh? What an arm. You know what's crazy about Kyle Parker? He had a great arm in football and kind of an average arm in baseball. Right?
I mean, he could throw people out, though, from out in right field.
But it wasn't. I mean, he didn't have he had a rocket arm in football.
Yeah.
He had a very average arm. I thought an average arm in baseball.
Now, but we know Tommy Bowden was a big fan of Kyle Parker in those baseball pants.
Yes, yes.
You can't forget that timeless quote.
I totally forgot about that.
You can't forget about those gems about that Coach Bowden brought us.
All right, let me fly down a couple of lists. Before we get to Paul Strelo, let me fly down a couple of lists here. These are from CBS Sports, and it is their top 100 NFL players, and then the top Power Five coaches. Let me do the coaches first. Are you ready, John Hite?
Yes.
Top 25 Power Five coaches right now, according to CBS Sports Time. Who wrote this? This is Tom Fornelli. Kind of like Tom Fornelli. Good job. Dennis Dodd said that none of the coaches are good, but Tom Fornelli likes all these guys. Number 25, Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Number 24, Mario Cristobal at Oregon. Number 23, Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia. Number 22, Mark Stoops at Kentucky. People think a lot more of Mark Stoops than I do. 22, Pat Fitzgerald of Northwestern. Number 20, Mack Brown, North Carolina. Would have thought he would have been higher with this. Number 19, David Shaw at Stanford. That one's slipping. That one's trending the other way. Number 19, Gus Malzahn at Auburn. 17, Paul Chryst at Wisconsin. 16, trending down, losing 8 spots. TCU's Gary Patterson. Moving up 29 spots to number 15 is Minnesota's P.J. Fleck. Moving up 8 spots, number 14, Iowa's Kurt Ferentz. Mike Gundy at 13, he dropped 1. Jim Harbaugh moved up 3 to 12 at Michigan. Kyle Whittingham moved up 7 to number 11 at Utah. Moving up 35 spots to number 10, Ryan Day at Ohio State. James Franklin moved up 2 spots to number 9 at Penn State. At number 8, best Power 5 college coaches moved up 2 spots, Dan Mullen at Florida from last year. Jimbo fell from 5 to 7 at Texas A&M. 6th best coach in the country. Staying number 6, Kirby Smart. Number 5, moving up 2, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame. Number 4, moving up 26 spots, Ed Orgeron, LSU. Moving up 1 spot, Oklahoma's Lincoln Riley's number 2. Staying at number 2, Dabo Swinney. Staying at number 1, Nick Saban. What Tom Fornelli said about Dabo Swinney, saying, discussing these rankings with the Cover 3 podcast, I asked two of my co-hosts and fellow voters, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons, what would it take for Swinney to be ahead of Saban? They both said the same thing that I did. If Swinney wins another title before Saban does, it would not be hard to place him higher. Swinney's story is at all dissimilar to the one we saw with Orgeron at LSU. Took over as interim coach in 08, and when Clemson gave him the full-time job, the most common reaction was, really? As it turned out, the really was really good in the decision. His Clemson teams have more seasons with at least 14 wins, 4, than they do fewer than 10 wins, 2. Clemson's won 14 games, at least 14 games, 4 times? Holy smokes. Swinney's done much more fantastic job at Clemson than we assume it's going to win the ACC every year and reach the playoffs. The only thing in doubt is whether it will win a national title, number 2 there. 14 game 4 times? How did I miss that?
I haven't seen that. I haven't heard that stat before.
Let me see if I'm right on that now. They might not be right on that.
Is Tim Bray awake yet?
They won 14 games in 15, 16, 15, and 18, and 14, and 19. 14 wins. In 4 of the last 5 seasons, they won at least 14 games.
You know what's crazy is there's a certain school down the road, it would take a couple seasons for them to accumulate 14 wins.
What?
Actually, it would take them the last 3. Yeah, 8-4. Yeah.
There's a funny picture a few years ago when Rashawn Gary was here. He was in a van, and it was with Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins, and Rashawn Gary were in his van on some official recruiting trip or whatever.
Right.
And when he took his official visit here, and so it was like 5 5 stars, like 25. Maybe Shaq Smith is in. There's like 25 stars in there. and a buddy of mine sent me a text and said, it takes South Carolina's whole team bus to get that many, stars. Speaking of stars, we'll ask Paul Strelo about the latest Clemson Tigers, including Barrett Carter, who committed this week, and Bubba Chandler, two Georgia guys that came in and committed to Clemson this week. We'll ask Paul about that after a very short break. Hey, my friends over at Katichi want you to know, the rain is gone. Thank goodness. Rain, go away. Come back another day. Dad wants to play. So get out and play some great golf this weekend. Take care of that Memorial Day weekend. Make your tee times. Go down to Katichi. CATEECHEE.com. If you've never been, take my word on this. You will absolutely love the place. What a piece of property God created in Katichi over in Hartwell, Georgia. What a great, whoever built the clubhouse and how they designed that, and whoever does the food over there, you're going to love Katichi. Go by and see them. They are fantastic. Everybody send over. I keep getting these positive responses and positive reviews. CATEECHEE.com. A short drive from the upstate of South Carolina down to Katichi over in Hartwell, Georgia. We'll come back, talk Clemson football recruiting with the best in the business from Tiger Illustrated, Paul Strelo.